You're about to get a brief tour of your pastor's brain, okay? And hopefully gain some insight into how it functions. For some of you, this is a scary proposition, and I can already see some of you folks looking around to find the nearest exit. I can't blame you for that at all. But if you can bear with me for just a few minutes, I assure you my intentions are good. My logic, I'm not sure about yet. Actually, I am very happy that Deidre Haupt spoke last week, because in her message, it was very informative and challenging for us. And she gave an excellent presentation. And what I mean by this is that it had a very good logical flow to it. Her message had an overarching theme. It had three major points in support of that theme, and analogous to the three-legged stool. And of course, then she listed and explained five different principles to help us, help us as the church, apply the newly acquired knowledge that we gained. And that is commonly known as wisdom. So anytime we can gain in wisdom, that's a good thing. If I were a judge of the oratorical arts, which I am not, but if I were, I would have given her high marks in her message, but I am not that. I am just a local preacher, so instead I will just steal her material. Okay. No, just kidding. I can't do that because, quite frankly, what she conveyed to us came from her heart and from the calling God has placed on her life, and it's personal, and quite frankly, it's non-reproducible, in the sense that if someone else tried to deliver that same message, it would come out all differently and far less impactful. And what I have to say then comes from my heart today, okay? And what I'm going to do is steal her 1-5-3 outline that she used, but I'm going to kind of put a slight twist to that, because, you know, I'm dyslexic, and I'm going to use a dyslexic sort of thing here on you. I'm going to use a 1-5-3 pattern rather than the 1-3-5 that she did. First, I'm going to have an overarching theme. I'm going to have five major headings, and three, I guess I'm going to have a few subpoints to that. By the way, I don't want to make fun of anybody here who might be dyslexic or have that challenge of dyslexia in their lives. Actually, dyslexia has run in my family. Both my mother and one of my brothers has struggled with it, and I would have struggled with it more had I not made it a point to write in my diary every day. I don't know if you can. Okay, never mind. Anyway, here's my overarching theme. Here's my overarching theme, and this is, God is worthy of all creation's worship, okay? Which includes the worship, any worship that mankind can conceivably muster. Unfortunately, not all humans or humanity worships God. Countless millions have failed to see the glory of God in the face of Christ. Therefore, God is not receiving all the worship due his name. Would you agree with that? It's true. This current situation that we live in, with millions of people not worshiping God, quite frankly, is unacceptable. It's tantamount to stealing from God, and it dishonors God, quite frankly. Can you imagine how much more praise God would receive if all those who had turned away from him all of a sudden repented and turned to him and worshiped him for who he is and what he's done? Wouldn't this be so amazing and so incredible and so right if that were to happen? It's up to his church, you and me, to change the situation. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, he mentions this idea of, he says, in him we were chosen. And here he's speaking to actually the first Jewish Christians there in Ephesus. Having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ, and here's this little phrase I want to focus on, for the praise of his glory. Did you hear the little phrase right there at the end of this section, for the praise of his glory? Let us not overlook what should be a very profound meaning in our world today. That coming to Christ, as we have, as Christians, we have come to Christ. We receive his offer of salvation. We believe in the gospel message. And it not only brings hope and life and purpose to our individual lives, when we do that, it brings glory and honor to God. Because in coming to Him in faith, we recognize, we acknowledge, we proclaim His greatness, His love, His immeasurable majesty, and henceforth, that brings glory to God's name. And it's only right that God should be recognized and praised and adored for who He is and what He's done. No one can be or can do or has done or will do or is doing right now. No one can do any of that except for God alone. Now, some will argue that in those two verses, Paul is simply referring to the Jews who first believe in Christ, that their conversions were for the praise of God's glory. And you know what? They'd be absolutely right. He was referring to the first Jewish Christians. But the thing is, Paul goes on in his writings and he says these wonderful words. He says, "You also were included in Christ," in the book of Ephesians. "You who heard the word of truth, you who believed, you who marked with the promised Holy Spirit. Now you have God's inheritance. You are God's possession." And then he says at the end of there, he says, "To the praise of His glorious grace." So in essence, when Paul writes to these first century Christians, way back in probably AD 50 or 60, around that maybe, concerning their belief in Christ, he's talking about their belief in Christ, he's also writing about you and me. And who are we? We're 21st century Christians. We are the same, we are Christians who have received the same salvation. And in doing so, we are bringing glory to God as well. Different century, same mission. First century, 21st century. And here's the thing. More of this stuff needs to happen. Because as long as there are people out there who have yet to believe, then there's praise and glory that is left on the shelf and is not being directed to God right now. And that is a shame. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 150, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Are you with me for so far? This is my overarching theme here. Okay? God deserves our praise for who He is and what He's done. But as long as there are people who are inhaling and exhaling God's air, and they are not acknowledging the goodness and mercy, and are not coming to Him with humility and repentance, then guess what? Our job as the church is far from done. This is about as simplistic as I can put it. And it's my overarching theme of this message this morning. If there are people on this earth not worshiping the one true God of the Bible and who are failing to recognize His one and only perfect Son, Jesus, then guess what? God is getting cheated out of what He rightly deserves. He's getting cheated. How many of you out there like getting cheated for something that you believe rightly you deserve? My guess is no one. But all praise and glory and honor are due His name. As we see in John's revelation, he gets a glimpse into heaven and he sees the heavenly being saying, "Worthy are You, Lord, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created, and they have their being." And their being, their purpose, is to bring honor and glory to God. You see, living a life that acknowledges and seeks to reflect the goodness of God, that is God's will for His creation, of which you and I are a part. There can be no more higher calling in this world, in this life, because in doing so, we're fulfilling God's intended purpose, proclaiming God's greatness, proclaiming His majesty. O Lord, Psalm 8, O Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Psalm 8. So here's my first point in my 1-5-3 outline. God deserves more worshipers. Those who have received His offer of salvation And worshipers are, we are to gather regularly, aren't we? To gather to worship God. And the primary way we do this is on Sunday morning at a place of worship such as this church, which we are presently find ourselves. And here, what do? We proclaim God's greatness. We do it through the reading of the word. We do it through preaching. We do it through praying, lifting our voices in song, and exhorting each other to live for him. But look around you right now. Look at the empty pews on your left and your right. This is exhibit A in defense of my thesis. Could not Elmont use more worshipers of God? The answer is staring us right in the face. Of course, the answer is yes. If there are people outside this building right now who are in their homes or in their stores or in their cars going who knows where on this Sunday morning at this worship hour, then God is being cheated out of what he rightly deserves. Our full attention should be focused on him, to give him glory and to give him honor and to give him praise. Now, I don't say this to guilt trip people. I don't say this because, you know, just hopefully put more bodies in the pews so that we can have a larger offering when the offering plate is passed around. So that we can, I don't do this so we can say to another church, look, we know how to do ministry. I simply say it because God is just not worthy of all our praise. He's worthy of everyone's praise. And as a church, we need to do something about it. It's as plain as simple as that. But what? But maybe the more accurate question is, how do we get more worshipers in church on Sunday? Again, I don't ask this question because, have everybody say, look at us, our church is full. But to know that God is getting the worship that he deserves. There, I've completed my 1-5-3 outline, at least the first part of it. And that is, God deserves more worshipers. Oh, by the way, I did go to a preaching a workshop when I was at that pastor's conference. But I was turned off right away by it, I got to say, by the presenter. Unfortunately, I didn't want to say this, but I will. It says, he proudly announced to everyone that he's planning to spend the next 7 years preaching through the book of Romans. 7 years. I immediately thought to myself, well, at least that congregation will be able to relate with all the Israelites who wandered around in the desert for 40 years. It's like, oh my, 7 years in the book of Romans. Who plans 7 years out? Okay? I have a hard time planning 7 days out. And from the looks on the faces of those present, I could see he quite kind of missed the target with his audience. Seriously, though, I want to say right now that I have an initial plan for increasing worship attendance here at FCC. And this brings me to the five of the 1-5-3 outline here. I don't know if you thought about this. I do a little bit of math, but over the next 153 days, that's 5 months, if you count up in your calendar from May 10th to October 10th, there's 153 days. And I'll tell you why that. From May 10th, which is today, going through Saturday, October 10th, that's 5 months. I propose that our church host or sponsor at least five outreach events geared toward and focusing on engaging the Elmont community. These events would be considered, I'm going to use it, fishing events, okay? Who likes to go fishing? Anybody like to go fishing here? Where's Sherry Wilson? She's always a good fisher person. Okay. We as a church will be casting out our broad net, okay, to see what we might haul in. You remember the story about Peter who hauled in the 153 and that one particular? You see, I know this using the fishing analogy is somewhat cheesy, but hey, Jesus used it first, so I'm in good company there. But see, these events that we host can be one-day events. They could be a week-long event. The beautiful thing is that some of these events are already in our church calendar. Okay, if we look at our calendar, we already see things. We see like bicycle maintenance, for example. This coming Saturday, we're having the hosting a garage sale sort of thing, bicycle maintenance. That's one good example. In the past, we've had ice cream social block party sort of thing, where we gathered in the neighborhood and, you know, had ice cream treats. Memorial Day weekend hot dog luncheon that we usually host at the church after the service in the park. Usually generously donated by the Baholsky family. A vacation Bible school is scheduled in July. In the past, we've done worship in the park. Of course, also we have Elmont Homecoming coming in August. We have the Elmont Heritage Festival. We have Festival of Trees, which is, that's outside of the window there. I mean, that's after that. But here's the thing. All we need to do is refine these events and add to them in order that they are more conducive to meeting our overall goal, which is to have more attenders in the worship service, more worshipers of Christ. Okay, that was the 1-5. Now I'm getting to the 3 here. Those are the 5 events. The 5 events over 5 months. Finally is the 3 here. From each of these, and this is kind of getting down to more the nitty-gritty detail of this, but it's important here. We can have 5 events over the course of 5 months. We could have more than that if we want, but, you know, if we focus on 5, that would be good. But from each of these particular events, we want to identify an individual, or 3 individuals, or 3 family groups from each of those events that we feel or see that we believe God is calling them to become part of our church family. So as we are taking, you know, interacting, and this is very important. So when we put on an event, we just can't just, you know, yes, it's one thing to offer them a hot dog and a drink, but we need to hear their story. We need to get to know their story. And when we do that, we are starting to make those connections that are so vitally important to help them come into the church. So in each of these events, we find at least 3 people who we feel that we should really pursue, I guess you want to pursue them a little bit, identify them, get their contact information, follow up with them, invite them to future church events, especially church on Sunday, and generally learn their story. Because if we can listen more than we want to talk, I'm a preacher, so I like to talk a lot, but if we listen and hear their story, then we're able to pray and to minister to them in a way that's going to make them feel like they belong to our church family. So in this way, we will be intentionally and transparently drawing them into the FCC family so that they can do what God wants them to do, what God wants all of us to do, to give praise and glory to His name. And we do that in community. It's very hard as an individual to give praise and glory to God's name when we're out there trying to do it on our own. We need the encouragement and the support of one another. And in no way should we ever apologize for our efforts to bring more people into church. Because when we do that, remember, we are helping, we are facilitating in their lives their what God is calling them to do. And they want, and that is to be done in the church, to praise and glorify His name. I'll get to more details later about how we can do this, but suffice it to say that we cast the broad net with the different events, okay, over the next 5 months, over the next 153 days, in order to make contact with those who might be interested in our church and what we have to offer. And my question to you today is, what really do we have to offer, okay? I there's many things, but I'm going to highlight 3 of them. 1, salvation in Christ. The people that we talk to may not know the Lord Jesus in a personal way. We got to help, and we want to have an opportunity to share Christ in our lives. But a lot of times, we have to start by listening to their story so that then we can, they're going to feel accepted and appreciated, you know, and just want to be around us some more. So we can offer salvation in Christ. We offer a sense of community, don't we? That's one thing that a lot of people are really aching for right now. A lot of times people, the only community they have is their smartphone, okay? And that is a very cheap imitation of community. And it can actually lead to unhealthy things. So we offer salvation, we offer a sense of community, and also we offer, hopefully, specific ways to grow in the Lord. That's very important too. Opportunities to grow in faith. And this was important. When I went to the pastor's conference, which was just a couple weeks ago, I was struggling as to how do we help the new people we catch, you know, I kind of use that term lightly, we're not really catching him, but we're trying to draw them in, right? It dawned on me that at the pastor's conference, they had the answer I was looking for. I mean, I was kind of struggling. And I went to this conference, and sure, we can invite people to Sunday school. We can invite people to the worship service. We can invite people to the fellowship hour. Those are things we all should do, okay? But at that conference, the programmers of the conference are starting this thing called, I love these acronyms. This one's called TACLE. TACLE, so it stands for Town and Country Leadership Events. Town and Country Leadership Events. Anyway, I don't want to get bogged down in the details here, but basically it is five different modules. The first module is coming out in this fall, right? And it's going to talk about, you get a 10-minute video and 20 minutes of conversation about it. And it helps people in the community understand the church and what the mission of the church is and how we can be involved in the mission. And I thought, that's interesting. I kind of like that idea. So it's not a huge commitment, but it's something that we can invite the church members to and also new people who have connected with our church. Let's maybe let them go through this idea of TACLE, Town and Country Leadership Events. It's a video conference sort of thing. So we just sit around, we see a video, a 10-minute teaching session, and then 20 minutes of, we discuss it. And we build a community that way. I think these sessions could be instrumental to helping people to introduce them or to reintroduce them into the church, and of course, help all of us find ways for us to worship God, to grow in Him, to serve the kingdom. Because really, when you think about it, this is the plan God has for all of us. It's important that we find out our role in it. In John chapter 21, and this was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when I last preached, you know, we talked about that chapter John 21 where Peter hauled in the 153 fish from the shore to his net. And it says, though I'm sure he's, because can you imagine, if you've had 153 large fish, I think it said they were large, let's say they were a pound each, okay? That's 150. Peter hauled that ashore. And it says the nets never broke. Well, we're going to go on our own little quote-unquote fishing expedition. We're going to cast our broad net at least five times. We will identify some people that we feel. We're going to follow up, identify and follow up, engage with them so that they can join us and partner with us in the high and holy calling that God is calling every Christian to. And that is to be to the praise of His glorious grace. I call this whole adventure, I even had to come up with a name. Psalm 153. Now you're thinking, Psalm, there's only 150 Psalms. There's only 150 Psalms. So why would I call it something like that? Well, purposely serving the Almighty. In Elmont. There it is. It's right there in the Psalm. P-S-A-L-M. Purposely serving Elmont. Or the Almighty. I hope God will move in your heart to join us in this adventure.